Ladies and gentlemen, this is John Wayne. There are all kinds of good things I can say about your local United Fund or community chest. Just add it up with me. They support health and welfare services that help kids like a day nursery, and agencies that work with teenagers like the scouting groups, and services that help families with their troubles, help elderly people, and help the sick. To me, all that adds up to a couple of important ways. One is that in one way or another, all of these agencies do a lot for families to strengthen them. And to me, that's important. And another thing is that with a lot of these services together in your United Fund or community chest, it's that much more convenient for you to do the right thing for the family and for your community. This is John Wayne reminding you that your one gift works many wonders the United Way. So be sure to give your fair share.
CARE listens to the needy overseas and transmits food, tools, and medical services to help. Tune to the voice of humanity. Send dollars to CARE, New York, 10016.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Is Somebody There?, was written by Virginia Mazur and marks the 35th anniversary of the Youth Aliyah Movement.
Tell me about yourself, Mara. What is there to tell? You know about me already. It's all in the report. I'm a thief. A liar. I am dirty. I am bad. You know what bad means. Sex. S-E-X.
Everything in this story is true except the name of the girl. That has been disguised out of respect for her privacy. It happened not many years ago at the Youth Aliyah Guidance Center in Jerusalem. The day the girl called Mara first appeared there, there was on the desk of the young psychiatric social worker who would treat her a formidable file. It was based upon information gathered from the various agencies who had had to do with the child for over the past 10 years.
Mara Bassan, age 14. Diagnosis, character neurosis with marked delinquent behavior. Prognosis poor. History, born prematurely during last days of World War II. Parents, Greek Jews, escaped from Nazi concentration camp, joined group of partisans fighting in forest in Central Europe. Father, 18. Mother, 17. Day before Mara was born, father killed in foray against Nazis. Mother's grief and shock brought about child's untimely entrance into the world.
Poor little one. A bundle of bones. Little buried bones. Little sparrow. Not much chance for you in this cruel world, but we will do our best.
Is there a baby? Did the baby come?
Oh, indeed she did. You have a little girl, Rivka. Here, take her to your breast.
No, take her away. I don't want her.
Oh, listen, she cried for you. It is you she needs.
I don't need her. Nobody needs her. Let her die. It's better that way.
Shh, child. That is wickedness you speak. She's a blessing. Call her Raja.
No, call her Mara. Mara means bitter. Now take her away.
She will die without you.
Let her die. Let me die with her.
Case report on Mara Bassan continued. The mother survived, so did the child. 3 months later, the war was over. The 17-year-old Rivka, carrying her tiny infant in a shoebox, made her way back to her native Greek village. Of all her kin, only an old grandmother was alive. Mara was left in her care while the mother sought work in a nearby city. It is known that the old woman took care of the child to the best of her ability, though in great poverty. She taught her the Ladino language of the Sephardic Jews, even to write it a little. This language seems now to be erased completely from Mara's brain.
Mara, tell me about your life in Greece. Do you remember your grandmother?
She was an old woman, bent over like a stick. She smelled.
Did you love her?
Love her? Why should I?
She took care of you.
My mother paid her to.
When your grandmother died, how did you feel? Try to remember, Mara.
I felt... I did not feel anything.
Do you remember crying?
Crying? Why should I cry? She was old.
She loved you.
How do you know? You weren't there. Well, I didn't love her. I don't love anybody. Nobody except boys. You must have read that in the report. And my time is up. I want to go.
Mara was 4 years old when the grandmother died. The mother Rivka hastened home, took the child, and as soon as possible immigrated to the newly formed state of Israel.
Mara Bassan was simply one of tens of thousands of homeless children snatched from 62 different countries to save them from the Nazi bloodbath, and later from persecution in the Arab countries. The movement responsible for their immigration is Youth Aliyah. The word Aliyah is Hebrew. It means literally going up to Jerusalem, going up to life instead of downward to death. In the beginning, Youth Aliyah was concerned mainly with saving the children's lives. Today, while the agency is still concerned with rescuing children from the Arab states and North Africa, it has spread its wings to embrace the total welfare of the children it has rescued. Many of them are hurt children. Children who have known not only starvation, but the worst kind of violence, hatred, neglect, despair. Youth Aliyah places them in agricultural schools, foster homes, children's villages. It also has established in Jerusalem a treatment center for problem children. And for the most deeply disturbed, there is a rehabilitation center for intensive care. It is called the Mador. Head of the Mador is Dov Kula.
The young people who reach our care are essentially displaced persons. Their early experiences have been such that they have neither a sense of belonging nor a belief that their lives are of any significance to anyone in the whole wide world.
You told me, Mara, that you don't love anybody.
Just boys. I like them to hug and kiss me and, you know.
Do you feel that anyone loves you?
Loves me. One person, maybe.
Is it your mother?
My mother. She doesn't love me. I don't think she hates me either. I'm just there for her.
Our hardcore cases are emotionally like crippled children, stunted in their capacity to grow toward independence. They lack the security provided by a normal family pattern in their early years.
I remember when we first came to Israel. My mother and I lived on a kibbutz. I remember the crickets in the evening and the stars, big as dinner plates. My mother would come in from her work in the fields and tell me good night. Sometimes she would sing to me. But it didn't last long. Nothing lasts.
What happened?
Oh, there was a man. A worker at the kibbutz. He was a Czech. I used to see them together, laughing and holding hands. I used to try to run after them, but he would yell at me to go away. Once he hit me. Then they got married and we left the kibbutz.
Where did you go?
To one of the new towns. It was so ugly. All those horrible little tin houses and those dusty streets. No grass. Not a blade of grass anywhere. No crickets. No stars.
There must have been stars, Mara.
Well, I never saw them. I never looked up at the sky anymore.
What did you do in the evenings?
You know. It's all in the report. I started running around with a bunch of kids from the town. My mother said they were wild kids and I had to stay home. She would lock me in. One night I slipped out the window. And when I came home, my stepfather beat me. He beat me with his belt. And my mother didn't do a thing. She just sat there rocking her baby and watching him beat me.
You can cry, Mara.
Oh, I'm not crying. I didn't mind the beating. I had a lot of them. It didn't hurt anymore.
It was your mother not trying to protect you that hurt, wasn't it?
She just sat there like a cow, holding her baby, nursing it.
Is the baby a boy or a girl?
A girl. She's 2 years old now. She's beautiful. She has black hair and eyes so blue, they remind you of the way the sea looks on a summer day. I hate her.
We have no magic cures for these youngsters. Youth Aliyah tries to devise a tailor-made plan for each child who comes to it. Sometimes they're placed in a youth village or a foster home. Sometimes we help them get a job or vocational training. In some cases, they're assigned to a social worker to help them learn the simple ABCs of human relationships. They're usually so distrustful of adults that they resist any gesture of friendliness. The social worker must try to work through this vicious circle of behavior.
Report on Mara Bassan continued. Mara is a well-developed 13-year-old. She has been at the kibbutz for 11 and a half months. During that time, she has alienated herself from every member of the group one by one, including the youth leaders. She is dirty in her habits, impudent, coarse in her speech, and given to brazen, petty thievery. None of these problems was felt to be insurmountable.
What happened at Sukkot, Mara?
Go on, read. Read.
I have read the report, Mara.
I want to see you read it. I want to see the look of disgust on your face when you read how bad I am.
What happened, Mara, after the beating your stepfather gave you?
I was going to run away. But my mother made me go with her to see this youth Aliyah lady.
Was she a social worker like myself?
I don't know. She asked me a lot of questions, but I didn't answer her. My mother did all the talking. She said how bad I was and how she didn't want me living at home anymore. So they decided to send me to this kibbutz, where there were a bunch of youth Aliyah kids working and going to school.
How did you get along at the kibbutz?
How did I get along? You know. It's all in the report.
I would like to hear it from you.
No. Read the report. Read it, I tell you. Read it now.
Over the Sukkot holidays, Mara, like most of the other children in the kibbutz, was permitted to return to her home to spend the holidays with her family. When the holidays were over and she did not return to the kibbutz, her mother was contacted and it was learned that Mara had not gone home at all. A search was organized. 3 days later, Mara was found in a nearby village living with a young man of 20. The two of them alone in his room. She was persuaded to return to the kibbutz, but exhibited no guilt feelings over her behavior. Instead, she flaunted her experiences before the other young people. After routine psychological tests and a long talk with the youth leader, it was decided to allow Mara to remain at the kibbutz, but to arrange for her immediate treatment at the Youth Aliyah Guidance Center in Jerusalem.
So, here I am. What do you see when you look at me?
I see a young girl. A young girl
who is a slut. A prostitute.
Those are your words, not mine. I see a young girl with black hair and blue eyes. Eyes as blue as the sea on a summer day.
No. That's how I describe my little sister. That's not me.
I see a girl who is intelligent and sensitive. A girl in whom there runs a strong tide of life.
There's dynamite in me. Enough dynamite to blow up this whole office, and you and me with it.
But you won't.
How do you know I won't? I do as I please. Nobody can stop me.
Oh, yes. Somebody can.
Who? Nobody has stopped me yet. Who?
You.
So in the safety of the treatment room, Mara acted out her pent-up rage. No matter what she said or did, the therapist's unconditional acceptance of her never wavered. But the young social worker was wise enough to know that acting out is a catharsis, but not a cure. At some point, Mara must unlock the door to her past, assimilate it, and go forward into the future. How to find the key to that door? This was the problem. It came unexpectedly one day after months of stormy interviews.
I had a dream last night.
Well, that's interesting. I think you told me you never dream.
I don't. But I had one last night.
Would you like to tell me about it?
You won't like it. You'll be angry with me.
Why?
Because the dream is about Shmuel.
Shmuel? You have never talked about him before. Is he the young man with whom you spent the Sukkot holidays?
My boyfriend. They dragged me away from him. I've never seen him since.
What happened in the dream?
It will shock you. I was lying on his bed. He was there beside me. Do you want me to go on?
Of course.
He was stroking my head and he was singing. It was funny language. But in the dream, I could understand it.
Was it a language you had heard before?
I think so.
Could it have been the language your grandmother spoke? Ladino?
Yes, I think it was. That's it. That's what it was. And the song. It was one my grandmother used to sing.
How did you feel in the dream?
I felt safe.
What were you doing?
I'm ashamed to tell you.
Don't be ashamed.
I was sucking my thumb. It's so stupid.
Crying helps sometimes. It washes away a lot of things. Anger and fear and hurt.
It was like I was a little girl again in the dream. And Shmuel, he was my father. My real father. But he was my grandmother too. And my mother. It's all mixed up.
Let's see if we can't untangle it.
No. I want to go now.
I don't want to talk about the dream anymore.
Don't talk about the dream. Stay, Mara. Stay and tell me about Shmuel. About Shmuel and the Sukkot holiday.
I had seen him in the village, but I didn't even know his name. It was the day before the holiday started. I was in the bus station. I had bought my ticket. But when my bus came, I knew I couldn't get on it. I couldn't go home. I knew they didn't want me. I didn't want to go back to the kibbutz. I didn't know what to do. I just sat there. And the bus rolled off without me. I began to cry. Then Shmuel got off of another bus. And he came over to me.
What's the matter, little one? Can I help you?
No. Nobody can help me.
Why so sad? It's Sukkot. People should be happy on the holidays.
I haven't any place to go. My bus. It just left without me.
Who are your people? We'll get in touch with them.
No. No, you mustn't. They don't want me. Nobody wants me.
It's too bad. We must think of something.
Please. You have a kind face. Please take me home with you.
Wake up. Wake up, lazy bones. You've been sleeping for hours.
I was very tired.
You fell asleep without any supper and with your clothes on.
I'm hungry.
Look what I've got in this basket. Oranges, dates, figs, nuts, candy. It's Sukkot. Get up, wash your face, and we'll have a feast.
I stayed with Shmuel all through the holidays. Then they found me and took me away. I want to tell you something. I know you won't believe me, but I want to tell you anyway.
Tell me. I will believe.
All the time I stayed with Shmuel, he never did anything bad. He never even kissed me. He said I was just a little girl.
And so you are, Mara. A little girl who lost her childhood somewhere. Did dreaming about Shmuel make you feel you'd like to see him again?
No, not really. He's old. Who I'd really like to see is my mother. I haven't seen my mother for a long, long time. But before I see her, I want you to tell her yourself. I want you to tell her that I'm not bad. And please, please, you help me to stay good.
Case history of Mara Bassan continued. The girl was seen in twice weekly sessions at the Youth Aliyah Guidance Center in Jerusalem for a year and a half. During the course of the treatment, the mother was also seen by the psychiatric social worker. She was an emotionally undeveloped woman who found it difficult to bring to light a past she had deliberately killed and buried. At the end of the first year of treatment, mother and daughter had found their way to accepting each other, and both expressed a wish that Mara return home to live. This met with the therapist's approval, and the girl left the kibbutz. For the next 2 years, the therapist kept in close touch with Mara, guiding her to channel her strong instinctual drives into various vocational channels, and slowly to learn to gain control over her formidable life forces.
None of this was as easy as it may sound. The road back is as treacherous as the road ahead, and a high order of courage is required to make the journey. Both Mara and the young woman therapist had that courage. For several years after Mara's treatment was ended, there was no word from her. Then, just this past year, came a wedding announcement. At the bottom, written in her own hand, was a message from Mara to the woman who had been the instrument of her cure.
Please, you must come to my wedding. It's as much your great day as it is mine.
Happy is the people, the Bible tells us. Happy is the people where their children are as plants grown up in their youth. Better than any prose, this expresses the philosophy of Youth Aliyah in its work with the lost children of Israel. Mara Bassan is only one of them. Case 100,597.
Of Mara Bassan. Closed. Prognosis? Excellent.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 25 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, New York, 10027. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mrs. Hi Saul Peter, chairman of the National Youth Aliyah Committee of Hadassah. Mrs. Saul Peter.
Carl Sandburg said, "There is only one child in the world, and the child's name is all children." Today we have heard the case history of one child who came to the Youth Aliyah Guidance Center in Jerusalem. We have been witness to the enormous amount of energy, determination, hope, anguish, and love that went into her redemption. Mara's story is not typical, and yet it dramatizes the essence of Youth Aliyah, first and foremost a rescue movement which progressed from a limited effort to save the victims of persecution to the greatest odyssey of the children the world has ever known. All facets of the Youth Aliyah operation have one common denominator, the rescue of Jewish youth. Rescue from ignorance, neglect, and demoralization in the spiritual as well as in the physical sense. The keystone of Youth Aliyah is flexibility to meet the needs of its variegated population, children of diverse standards, of varied ethnic and social backgrounds, to enable each child to advance educationally to the best of his or her ability. On February 19, 1934, the first group of 43 boys and girls from Germany disembarked at Haifa, and a simple plan of rescue became a revolutionary confrontation with children young in years, but adult in experience of suffering. The saga of Youth Aliyah can only be viewed and understood against the backdrop of Holocaust, war, the Exodus, barbed wire in Cyprus, and a magic carpet from Yemen. Today we can proudly say that 135,000 boys and girls have been given new life through Youth Aliyah. They came from Africa and Europe, from the Americas and Asia, from the East and from the West. These 3.5 decades have witnessed both desolate destruction and heartening renewal in Jewish life. Against this canvas, Youth Aliyah has created an educational instrument without parallel in history, out of the myriad minute details that constitute the rearing of a nation's children. Today, our concern must be for the future. Let us commit ourselves anew to the youth of today, who redeemed become the redeemers in a brighter, peaceful tomorrow.
Thank you, Mrs. Saul Peter. Our Eternal Light drama today, Is Somebody There?, was written by Virginia Mazur and marked the 35th anniversary of the Youth Aliyah movement. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in today's cast were Susan Towers as Mara and Nancy Franklin as the therapist. Also heard were Connie Lemke, James Monks, Fran Myers, and Alan Howard. We invite you to join us next week when The Eternal Light will present In the Presence of My Enemy by Virginia Mazur. This is Fred Facey. The Eternal Light is produced for NBC by Rhoda Grady and directed by Jeffrey Culliver. For the seminary, Dr. Ben Zine Boxer is program editor, Milton E. Krentz, producer, and Nancy Waltman, program coordinator. The Eternal Light is presented weekly under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America.